All right, we're live now. Now I want to address my congregants, the King's Houses, the people that I think really do care about this ministry. I unburden my heart today. It's always been my pattern. What you see is what you get. We deal openly with the congregation, and the world has to look on. I have bled openly for almost 5 years. I asked the congregation to read the book Windswept House. Because this ministry was reaching the place that many ministers reach. Now, I don't know who's doing the color coding back there, but you got a new camera and a bad color. And there are people back there that can straighten it out. You got a washed out color either on the air or... But both monitors are showing the same gray unreality. I have told you of the crises that one of the two men who influenced me the most as a pastor, Bon Bowman of Brightmoor Tabernacle in Detroit, who flew out, and I'd preach for him every year, and he said he had prayed and God had laid me on his heart as the only person to succeed him. And to use his words, he had started the church 40 years earlier with 35 people that when you sang the doxology, and they were in a little cracker box of a frame building. They had climbed the walls. And it had become one of the greatest churches in Motor City, Detroit. Multi-million dollar sanctuary, free and clear of debt. One of the largest churches in the Assemblies of God. He said, ready to move forward, go on TV, take the city. But he said, Gene, I got a problem. I have people with me on my staff that have fought in the trenches, been there when I needed them, through thick and thin, side by side, but they've lost their first love. And he said, it's time to grow, and they're not willing to pay the price of moving with me. They think they know more than I know. They were very familiar. He started out as a 19-year-old kid pastoring the church, and he was just bond to many of them. He says, I love them. They're like sons. They won't change, and I haven't got the heart to remove them. You're a new broom that can sweep clean. I said, Bon, he said he prayed 4 years. I said, Bon, you prayed 4 years. I haven't prayed 4 minutes. And your color's still not right, guys, but... My hair is white, but I'm not, really, folks, I'm not that gray. I'm not sick. I don't want my enemies to take pleasure in that pallor, gray pallor on his face. I don't look that gray, do I, folks?
No, sir.
He said, I haven't got the heart. And I said, well, I haven't prayed 4 minutes. And I made an offer. I said, I'll come and fill in for you for 4 months, 3 months, 4 months. I think it was 4 months. And that'll give God a chance to talk to me, and I'll talk to him. Bond was so sure he had made the decision and that I was there final, and I didn't want a pastor, and God didn't want me to then either. But he was so sure he completely turned loose and got a new burst of strength and came back and was able to move forward. But I can assure you I'd softened a few up during that 4 months. I was always one that pastors would bring to fill in on their vacation because they knew when they came back their position would be stronger. I would build their position stronger, not because I had it, but because I would teach the people to respect the pastor they had. I've told you, it was such a joy to renew fellowship with Oral Roberts again a week or so ago and Evelyn. But I told Oral what I told the world. I never said an unkind word about Oral Roberts. He's a very honest man. I've always said how much I respect the man, Oral Roberts. And in a day when healing evangelists was beginning to take on the connotations that TV evangelists do today, Oral was an honest man. You know, not only we got a color problem, you think, Brent, you can put me in the middle of that screen? He's a volunteer. He can take it. You got any problems with me telling you what to do, Brent?
No, sir.
Get me in the middle of the screen. If you can't see it from that angle, get over here and look straight at it. This is all warm up for something, so I'm getting you ready. I shared this again with Oral. I've shared it from the platform. Well, I named the name to him. And we enjoyed sharing a few other people that I had recognized were not loyal when I was with him. But one in particular said, he was a computer nerd. Because Oral fancies himself to be a businessman. He flies in here once a month and does enough damage in a week that it takes us the rest of the month to undo the damage. He'd just stay out there and pray for the sick, leaving unsaid, and bring the money in. We'd run this. Even then, I could use exotic parts of the English language quite well. And I used a few of them on him. Not Oral, I mean the disloyal asteroid orifice that said that. I started my ministry in the headquarters church in Springfield, Missouri, where all the bureaucrats for Jesus worked. And I went there with my old-fashioned system of commitments that I told you I started my ministry as a teenager in my dad's church before I lost my faith, but always had from the time I heard that chaplain say when I was 16. The war was fought by each soldier getting out of the foxhole and acting as though the whole war depended on him. I made a dedication then that whatever I did was worth doing. I was going to do it as though I was the only one doing it. And I laid down the standards for Sunday school teachers that became the birth of Westcott Sunday School Services, in which I said is morally wrong to expose kids to teachers that don't take their commitment seriously. I still feel that way. That's why I didn't have Sunday school anymore. But then I was asked to straighten out Sunday school, and I laid down a series of requirements. And I remember the son of the richest charter lady woman in the church. I mean, he thought he was King Kong. He taught the junior boys. He had taught me in earlier years. At least I'd been in his class. And I showed him the requirements, and he said, "No, I can't do that, and you ain't going to get anybody to do that." I said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Who are you going to get to teach? I haven't got anybody." I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Who?" I said, "Me. I'll teach the whole church from nursery to adults." Well, these are the terms. Well, he didn't do it. And I found somebody else. I didn't have to teach the class. Somebody else did. Somebody rose to the challenge. Interestingly enough, that old wonderful guy is the man who wrote the $100,000 check years later that brought me out of the valley and followed me all around the world. I mean, I used to talk about him. I'd say he finally got the commitment that he wasn't willing to give earlier. And I used to say to him, you know, Jesus had Peter who drew his sword to try to do the work in his own strength. You'd hit him with a shovel because he was a farmer. During one period, in later years, he worked for me and I paid him to stay home because he was such an irritant. Just stay home. He had to come to me to solve the problems of their whole family when their estate was and farms were buried by the Orville Dam. And I still handle some of the trust affairs for that family. So eventually he came around. But that's the man who came to this town as pastor. My very first message was at a banquet out near the Equestrian Center. For the teachers. My first message to the teachers was Jephthah's vow. If you ever do anything for God, it'll cost you something. I came to town looking for that uncommon man or woman. Not a regular church. I went through it in Springfield, as I said, with the bureaucrats who worked for God all week, so they went to the Lake of the Ozarks on the weekend. My first act on Sunday morning, as I opened to preach as their new minister of education, was to chew out the treasurer's son and John Ashcroft, son of J. Robert Ashcroft, president of Evangel College, who had led the singing, I think, in the preliminaries of that service. And his boy and the treasurer's boy had to be called down by me in the first 3 minutes of my message and told to straighten up or they'd be thrown out. He's now Attorney General of the United States. That same John Ashcroft. I haven't changed. This generation with no sense of values, despising authority, lovers of self, is anathema to me. I'm like a prophet out of the wilderness. Don't intend to change. Don't think I'm right, know I'm right. I could go through, I became a consultant to 31 churches, it's always the problem. That's why many ministries ultimately end up turning it over to their own blood sons or daughters. I haven't changed in my values, but I think I've grown. I came to town, I listened to a message I preached, BF 166, 22 years ago. Sound pretty much the same to me. Except I have grown, the truths of the Bible are the same, I've grown in hard work and study considerably. This ministry has grown. Staff members have not grown, some of them. And I've announced many years ago, I dread the day that the Von Bowman syndrome will hit me in this church. Because I love hard. All people say, they turn in and say, tired of hearing about your staff problems. Well, everybody's got them. I'm the only one honest enough to tell you. I mean, I've recently had fellowship with people. I was a consultant to pastors for years. This is germane. This is germane to the ministry. As a ministry grows and becomes a greater threat to Satan's empire, the prince of the power of the air, stronger troops are brought into the battle. The hierarchy of Satan's not all equal. There are archos, rulers, exousias, authorities, pneumaticus, spirit, hosts of evil near about us, and cosmocrateros, world rulers of this darkness. You don't waste a General Schwarzkopf on a parking ticket. You bring in the big guns. And the more you penetrate Satan's territory, the greater he is aroused. He's not omnipotent. He has limited troops, more than enough for any one of us. But he must concentrate them, and he's intelligent enough to concentrate them in the areas where he can corrupt or silence his biggest threat. He went himself to confront the threat that he knew would bring him down, the Lord Jesus himself in the wilderness. He didn't send some cosmocrateros. He went. Top gun. And the more a ministry grows, when Satan finds out he can't bring the leader down, he's going to attack those close to him on whom he leans, because it's impossible as you grow to not get dependent upon vital personnel. So the cosmocrateros, to stay in tune, if they can't bring me down to personalize it, they're going to bring me down through my staff. We're only as strong as the weakest link in the chain. Now, behind the scenes for many years now, it may sound strange, but for many years I've been undergoing the attack from Satan and telling my staff people that every week when the service finishes, I don't even talk about festivals, that I've explained some of the reasons why we don't do daily festivals anymore. I would like to. I really would. You got to have a staff to do it. every Sunday, when that most important time comes to a close, the devil launches his attack. And he will bring us down on only three, there's only three things to bring us down. Break my health. Break my faith that will result in me losing my health and the ministry going down in either case. Or if he can't break my health and my faith that helps sustain it, and your prayers are important out of it, part of it, fire away and like snipers in Vietnam shooting the generals or the officers, fire away at the key staff people. If he gets one a month, one a week, eventually it narrows down until something has to fall. Until I face the same choice of the Pope in Winthrop's house, I must cut things off of the ministry or allow a corruption to remain. And if my staff has not grown spiritually to match the attack from Satan, and they haven't, they're a pushover for him. Now, we're going through a station break, but I don't intend to stop, so I'll just sit here for a moment, and you folks on shortwave better make your announcements in a hurry and do it now. You see, things become common. Most of my congregation believes it, but they don't believe it. They believe it like those of the Old Testament when Elijah showed up, and they would say, as you've heard me repeat this many times, "The Lord God of Israel liveth." Bring it up. They can spout the creed. They haven't had any real experience with him in some time, but Elijah comes up and it reminds them, yeah, the Lord lives. They did not live in an awareness as Elijah did, "The Lord God of Israel liveth, in whose presence I stand." Most of you, before you throw a stone like Romans 2 against all the terribleness of Romans 1, most of you don't believe. Do not live in the conscious awareness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Archos, Exousias, Cosmocratoros, Pneumaticus. Pneuma is the word for spirit. Spirits can be evil or good. These are hosts of evil spirits, personalities, persons, invisible in the air about us. You're in the tunnel. You don't believe it. They don't go to work, stand, withstand, expecting the attack. They go to work saying, "I'm going to make it." You can't. Not one of you can. Any more than what I preach today, the blessed man, strength is in him. They do not live in that awareness that you're going onto a battlefield every day. We just got a wake-up, massive, across America. Now, everybody is wondering where it'll happen next. Too bad Christians can't live with that tension of the unseen world that doesn't care at all about anybody except those that are serving God. And if you're a vital cog in a ministry that's penetrating every square inch of the devil's territory. There's no little second, third, and fourth rate peons for the devil assigned to attack you. The big guns. The top guns. So if anybody needs to stand, withstand against the wiles of the devil and put on the whole armor of God, my staff. And they all get tricked into substituting sacrifice as the angel of light sits on their shoulder and makes them, I don't have a staff member, to my knowledge, I don't have a staff member. That if we had a problem tonight, it wouldn't work just like those folks in New York City. They work around the clock. I have no trouble with sacrifice. The devil doesn't really care if you sacrifice, if he can get you not to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We're at war. In this case, the general, which is God, will only communicate through his under-general here concerning this battle, and you get your orders from me. That's God's way. You will listen to people worrying about the loss of democratic rights in this war. And it will only take a little while for the shock to go away before the media is there getting these talking parrots that give them the two-side view, warning against the loss of individual rights. And it is a great danger. In fact, I'm on record 20 years ago saying Antichrist cannot come to power until the First Amendment of the United States is abolished. That's what lets us resist Antichrist. But in war, no war has ever been won democratically. You go to war, the price you pay is you give up certain democratic rights. Free speech lost at the Supreme Court level because it was ruled that they could not publish, even though they fought on the grounds of free speech, they could not publish the sailing schedules of the boats during the war because all the U-boats had to do was get a paper and know where to go to sink them. So, in that case, under the old standard of a compelling state interest to win the war of survival, and no lesser offensive civil rights violation method could be found, free speech was ruled not to overpower the national need in that case. Wars are not fought and won democratically. And the press, somewhere when the war starts, we'll stop giving information to the enemy. It's just the way it is. This is a war that we... Now, I've left the United States at this point. This church and every church is at war with the devil and his minions. It's an invisible enemy. There's nothing more analogous to spiritual warfare than terrorism. An invisible enemy. They don't have a life to give. They just have a miserable life to wreak havoc until they're cast into the lake of fire. I have bled and cried more tears and tried to save members of my staff as I warn them every week. The devil is going to, he starts as soon as service is over on Sunday, sometimes before the service starts. Each new week's a new beginning of the war. Find a way to break my health, break my faith, or not able to do that, cause some staff member to become his instrument in self-preservation and backslidden disobedience to do something so obscene to the cause of Christ, I have no choice but to fire him. Well, I'm sure you've... How many of you heard the story of Eli and his sons? Most of you, if I were to ask, would tell me that you thought that God killed them and punished Eli and his line because they were having sex with the women at the door of the tabernacle. The worshipers of Tammuz gathered around there, and these two sons of Eli were playing Hugh Hefner at Shiloh. How many of you would have said that's why God killed them? Or you're so ignorant of Eli and his sons, you don't even know about them. Hold your hand up. How many would have said that? That's why. How many don't even know why? Most of you don't want to even hold your hand up. You know why that God killed them? They showed contempt. They were contemptuous of the sacrifices the people brought to God. This ministry exists on the sacrifices of these people here, brought to God via me, the teacher. I've had people sitting in the counting room saying, oh, we hope we don't have an alabaster box today, because that, they leave unsaid, that puts a responsibility on them to have to make sure they get it to me because of its special nature. It is inevitable that a bureaucracy build up and going forward becomes a threat to their comfort. They get familiar. They're like teenagers who think they know their dad, who will sit, well, you know the way dad is. And have you ever been or encountered a couple of ignorant teenagers talking that way about their dad? Let me see your hand. You're guilty too as a congregation. You think you know me. The only thing you can be sure of is I'll always be honest with you. You don't know anything else about me. No, you may know I'm in love now. Finally found a helpmate. I make that pretty obvious. I think you know more than that, more than my wife, whom I love dearly. I love God and His Word more. And this work He's called us to do. Not so true. Not so true. Other things you may think you know. Nothing is more, that's why I haven't been able to finish the teaching on judging. Nothing's worse than you presuming to take God's place without His light and His perfection. The Urim and the Tumim. Unable to see the inside. Judging. There are couples, married couples, family ties of various types, which is why a man's foes will be those of his own household. that won't let you grow and knock the guts out of your growing because they've decided what you are. And you could have been the strikeout king and knock 55 home runs in a row and then strike out once and you'd say, there he goes again. That's the judgmental nature that makes knowledge and familiarity a blockade to progress in God. And my strength has become my weakness because in carnality some have found out. I even heard one dare to say to me, not realizing what he was saying as he was crying and asking for another chance and repenting, when I quit, I won't even go home because I know you'll come after me. Now, not in the sense of a cult that doesn't let people go, but in the sense of a shepherd that'll leave the 99 and go after the one. To say, you're sure your decision's the right one. He was begging for a chance after a major bleep up and saying how he counted on my mercy. Well, I'm not yet into Romans 2 where mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness is supposed to produce repentance. But in my case, it sometimes produces presumption. I know I shouldn't do it. I know it's violating every rule. I'm going to do it anyway. And then if it doesn't work out and I get caught, sorry, sir, will get me back. And thus, my love is utilized by the devil to turn into presumption. I dreaded this day. I've moaned about it for the last 5 years. I've tried to head it off. I've gone lengths I didn't believe I was capable of going to try to get people to see they had to change. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I preached this morning the ways of the Lord. God's ways are not man's ways. With God, the way you do something is more important than getting it done. With God, means are more important than end, because He can accomplish the end. The way you do it, I am a student of God's ways. God said, tragically, Moses came to know His ways. The people never came to know His ways. They only saw His actions. And they judged God by His actions, and they knew nothing of His ways. Some of you in this congregation are guilty of doing that with me. But I'm kind of like God. I'll be here when you're gone. I don't allow things that other churches allow. You had one vote years ago. You ain't got the majority to change it. And until you do, mine's the only vote that counts here. Don't ever get the illusion this church is going to change, and because you have grown up in it, it can become like other churches. No, it ain't going to happen, folks. And if you don't like that, get out now. I ain't leaving. I've not had any difficulty in paying the price. My difficulty is that I love hard. And I have let the sorry sirs come and come and come. But we're down now, and I finally crossed a hurdle, and I'm telling you, some of you have gone through divorce. How many of you have gone through divorce? I didn't think I could be a pastor because I was divorced. Now I know I'm a better pastor. How many have been through divorce? God kills you initially, doesn't it? Then there's a period of vengeance. You just want to get even. You move from broken heart to hate. Right?
Yes, sir.
Then it don't matter anymore. You have a chance to get even, and it ain't worth the energy. Well, I've been in that first stage for some time, but it's enough already. And I crossed a hurdle some time back. And there are some that have even been resentful, like teenage sons who owned their dad, that I have found someone who loves me in this work enough she will die for it or me, and they won't. And like teenage sons, they resent their father finding a new love. You aren't so dumb that you don't know that. Not all of them. Not even all the time. Some of them just know they're not willing to do what she'll do. And they're embarrassed about it and angry about it and momentarily jealous about it and hate being exposed and try to rationalize their way out of it, but it's the raw truth. I crossed the Rubicon, folks, whether it's showing or not. This is the largest international organization in the world, essentially run by Melissa and myself right now. We tried the 7-month commitments and it wouldn't work because whomever came in new got corrupted before we got to them. Let me give you a sample. I asked for the camera people to come and be trained with these new cameras. Now we got one little hotshot egomaniac, and if he's listening now, he knows who he is. He thinks he's better than any of the rest of them. I ordered every volunteer cameraman to get down there on Saturday night to be trained. That's of the same order as the fire chief calling them to New York, or the president calling up the reservists this weekend. You go. Well, Super Hotshot didn't show. And I told my staff, one of them to call him and tell him he was grounded. He's lucky I let him come to the cathedral. Now, I don't know what they told him. They usually try to water down what I say. And I don't want it watered down. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I gave an order he was to be grounded. He didn't. Don't give me an excuse. An excuse is an excuse. Don't give me an explanation. I mean, I could have perhaps gotten a message before the Saturday night training saying, my wife is dying and I must be at her bedside. Or my mother, which would sound a little like some of the excuses that came to Jesus. But I didn't get that. He just didn't show. He didn't show because he's know-it-all, and he thinks he doesn't need to be trained. We're just training in the camera. We're training in some things I don't like going on Sunday morning with the engineers. I get a BS letter. I hope he's listening. I never heard so much BS in my life. Well, I work on Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. Well, that was one Saturday night he wasn't going to work. I think I've only asked that once in all the time people have been down there. I don't believe in the word volunteer. This job you do for this church is more important than anything else you do. You find a way to get out of working for those few hours that night. Well, you better give me some demonstration how hard you try, and it's a choice between losing your job and being there, and then I'll help you make the choice. I gave an order he was grounded. I saw him prancing around on the platform today, making some of the exact mistakes that we had the Saturday night training to stop. I know I got 5 minutes, but I'm just wound up. Don't give me any more messages. I'll watch the clock and it better be right. I asked my engineers today, including one that went home and just got called back so I can deal with him, who built the crew list and did nothing to ask if I had seen the list this week. They just drop it in some fax somewhere. Why he was on that camera today when I had grounded him. Well, I interpreted your order. I thought it was just the first week after you gave the order. Well, I know how to say that. And when he got done making excuses, I said, stop lying. Stop lying. You let the work overpower the order. If you didn't have anybody but him, put the camera down on the floor and tell me before I get there, we don't have a cameraman. I'll bet you I could have brought one out of the congregation. I've dealt with this poison, for too many years. An order is translated into an objective to be accomplished, then my ego gets involved, the person that gets the order, and they're going to carry out the order their way instead of, I know how to say, get this job done, and don't bother me with the details. I want you to start at point A, and you better end up at point Z. And how you get there, I don't care. Now, exercise your ingenuity all you want. But when I say do this and do that this way, there is no other option. When you run into a glitch, you hold up your hand because I told you how I want it done, and I want it done my way or leave it undone. That hard to figure out? All of you know what a right now is, don't you? Everybody that works for me knows when I get up to go, it's over. It's over. You had your audience. Otherwise, I'm prisoner 24 hours a day because nobody that has some loose brain bowels can be shut up any other way. It's over, folks. You think any of these people would be able to end a news conference if they would just, when they start to walk out, continue to let them ask questions? You know, as voices of faith, you don't disturb certain points. When I'm coming off of a platform, having emptied my soul and guts and my heart is open, you don't ambush me as I come off the platform. Is there anybody in here who doesn't know that? How many know that? A man I've had constant trouble with who will not treat it right now the way it's supposed to be treated. I made open statement to you as a congregation today because I'm going through this problem that is overwhelming. I don't see how I can go forward without more help, but I've been this way ever since Jesus called me. I'll cut an arm off if it offends me. I came out of the church. I only have one door to go out to get in my car after that message, and I needed it worse than you did. And here's the man in charge of the cathedral that I've been praying for daily, holding his hand up to ambush me, and the security brought him out there and let him do it, to tell me that we got an air conditioning problem and he's got to call a man to fix it. Everybody that works for me knows the rules on that. They call the maintenance people and they make it a right now and call every number. And what can I do as I'm coming off the platform? Now, is this a big deal? No, it's a little deal, except it's 1,000 paper cuts a day of people that say, in essence, the devil said, your valley is people on your staff that will not change, will not accept the rules, will not do it your way, and I will show you who controls them as you come off the platform by, in essence, just sticking a big finger in your face as you come out of the platform. And it's about the 1,000th time he's been told. So the devil said, I'll show you. I don't care if I only get him 1 and 2 a week, but here goes another one. And yes, I suspended him. That's why I told you I need 7-month commitments. I have made the decision, if necessary, I will lock these cameras down as I did 25 years ago at Hartford. If necessary, I will hire people to come and run these things out here off the union market here in Television Town. But the things that can't be done by outsiders, it looks like Melissa and I together are back to 16 and 18-hour days. We're training two people that only time will tell. We've got them in isolation from other workers so they don't get contaminated with, well, you know how Doc is. And they don't learn the ropes of how to survive and get what they want done and not get caught. I told you of the emperor who wanted to fire everybody in the holy city, the forbidden city, and then discovered he had nobody to pay the bills. Well, I got me, and I got Melissa. And if necessary, I will shut the cathedral down, or anything else I have to shut down. I am getting this cancer, including the good flesh that doesn't want to straighten out in a hurry, out of this ministry. And I'm drawing a line the same way Joshua did in the sand. And if you've got the guts to commit, as I asked when I came here 26 years ago, then get your hat in the ring. Or go ahead and be an onlooker. It matters not to me. The opportunity is yours before the Lord. But I want you to know I have zero tolerance with egomaniac, modern-day yuppies that want to explain every time they're corrected why they did it. I'm not interested in your explanations. I'm suffering the consequences of your bleep-up. I don't intend to be punished by your blubbering in self-pity. And I don't intend to be bored with your explanations. And I doubt seriously that you are man enough or woman enough, most of you, to work for me. So why don't you face it? You're not man or woman enough to make it to heaven. Because that's about the way it is. The road still leads through the cross. And death to self and die daily. Now, I'm where I was 26 years ago when I cleaned house on this church and threw them all out. And I remember how I trembled as I went home, whether or not we could make it the next day. Well, as I preached this morning, I made it then. I think I'll make it now, because I got one to stand with me I didn't have then. Now, you can decide to get on the Lord's side or stay where you are. Next move's yours. Get on the telephone. I really hate it when I have to fight a clock. I was fighting getting off of 56, but the crux of this ministry is not dependent upon Channel 56. So I'm not done talking yet. So bring your telephone conversation to a close, and the people tell them, I want to talk some more. And then they can call back. And you'll take the rest of their message when they call back. None of you really believe the seriousness over the last several years of what I've been telling you. Neriams took over in this ministry. Who would entertain the thought that they could judge, Miriam and Aaron could judge against Moses? Abner's took over in this ministry. Abner was a distant blood relative of David. But I have people on my staff that I've loved and spent more time with than I did with my parents in all my years. in a couple of cases, I spent more years than I did in the longest marriage I endured, 23 years. Familiarity breeds contempt. If you don't have the ability to distinguish between the vessel and the office. That's one of the reasons God sent me to this church. To restore to this church respect for the position of God-ordained leadership. And I have had staff members grow up around me that I do not have a question. Some of them I've already let go. Do not have a question that in the natural they love me. And if a bullet were fired and they could get in front of me in the bullet, they would. But they're too carnal and too unspiritual and too lacking in the things of God to make the transition between when they're dealing with Gene Scott, their own adopted spiritual and almost natural father that means more to them than their own natural father in some cases, and when I'm acting in my office, which God has ordained. They can't make the shift. That's why the family of Jesus could not accept this distinction. They would lay hands on him. That's why he could do, and they thought he was beside himself. He was embarrassing them. That's why impetuous Apostle Peter could dare to challenge Jesus in the name of his love and say, "Be it far from thee." And thereby became an absolute instrument of Satan. In fact, Satan incarnate. Jesus didn't mince words. He didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter. Satan's using you." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He recognized in that moment Peter was Satan's own. Just Saturday night, the same person that accosted me, who had been dealt with by at least two people this week for the same thing, who absolutely refuses to carry out his executive position my way and report right now is the way they're supposed to be reported. Plaster falls off the ceiling from the last earthquake on the platform of the cathedral. And I find out about it more than a week later through some memo he sends in. Well, if you didn't know better and hadn't been told, that becomes a learning experience. This is not the way you handle earthquake damage at the cathedral, no matter how minor. You don't have that decision. Right now, nobody has the right to just walk up to me with a right now. Right nows are defined as that which has to be handled in a right now manner. And the way you do it, I'll bet you can tell me. You put your butt on a chair and you get paid the same to dial a phone and you call every number that you have until somebody tells you, "I have the message." And there are designated message carriers somewhere along that line who know when and when not to. That's the way you do it. Air conditioning at key places are sort of special right now of a different breed. And I'll bet you could tell me that, members of the church. Because the computer can be damaged, the television equipment can be damaged, the art and Bibles can be damaged. Air conditioning problem at certain places, you are to call the repairman, and we have a list of those we can call immediately, and you still make it a right now, calling until somebody tells you I have the message, and the message that I am to have is that you have already called the repairman, and if by the time you get somebody to tell you I have the message, if you've known something that the repairman's told you, that should be in the message, but you have a set procedure on air conditioning, you call the repairman. And then you get on the phone until someone tells you I have the message. Now you don't tell me. Oh, and then you ask another question. There are people in here that can tell me what the other question is. I mean, they're right now they're like a transmitter down. Because I have learned to my sorrow that I can't count on people to be as burdened as I am. And they'll let a transmitter sit down, and I can make a decision that can fly apart immediately, and they'll let it go for days. So when a transmitter's down, I'm to be told. The satellite down, that's a right now. But you're to ask the other question. What can Doc do about it right now? Now, we have a power outage in the hurricane season in Anguilla, which is 4 hours on the clock different. And when it happens, it's 4 in the morning, Saturday night. Well, you're going to wake me up at 4 in the morning, Saturday night. What can I do about it? The hurricane's passing the island. I can't do a thing about it. There ain't going to be any power on. All I can do is have night ruin and stagger to the church on Sunday morning and exhaustion to preach. Yeah, somebody better tell me before I go to the platform so I can alert the people that are trying to listen to those frequencies that it's down and alert the people to pray and etc. But what can I do at 4 in the morning? I come out of a service emptied, and a man that we spent even last night chastising over his stubborn, he's a nice guy, appears to be, a dedicated man. He's just going to force me to let him do it his way. Just that simple. It's down to where the issues become irrelevant. It's one-on-one poly. I want to come here and work for God. I'm easy, because it's always the little things. You can run a truck into the side of the cathedral, or as they did here once. I can absorb that. That's history. I'm not going to beat on somebody verbally for something that's already done. All that I can get out of it is a proper attitude when the correction comes. But all I get is self-preservation freeze, explanations, rationale, excuses. Now, who put that hat on the floor? Well, you did, sir. That's why they win wars with boot camps that teach people to put their ego somewhere else. No room for it in the battlefield. Authority, right and capacity to author. Responsibility, right and capacity to respond. You author something that I take responsibility for. Without being given permission, you're in trouble. That's why people ask, did Doc tell you to do this? This cameraman that I banned, I benched. Now I'm going to ban him until he understands the privilege. And the reason I'm going to ban him is, it just dawned on me, I ask a question. Does he ever show up as a voice of faith? And the answer is no. Now, I want to tell you something. You're not going to strut around as a security guard or as an usher another day in this cathedral if you aren't willing to get your ass in here in the trenches where the life and death battle is fought. So whomever is in charge of the ushers had better have a list for me early this week. Because you ain't ushering and you sure ain't going to be my security if you don't care enough about this ministry to get your ass down here on these phones. Maybe I'll discover you can't be on the phone because you don't pay your tithe. Now he's not only grounded from the camera, and I hope he is listening now. He better get his pretty little ass under control and his ego under control, and don't think he can just flatter me about my teaching and separate it from his position under this under-shepherd. He either better get his ass out and build himself a church. Talk to me about his ministry. Well, which street corner are you going to start on? There's only two people in the kingdom of God, and you better understand this hasn't changed since it was uttered by Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. You either get out on point, God disciplines you, God teaches you, God directs you, and you find somebody that will follow and trust you, or you humble your ego and you get your ass in harness under someone that can teach you and take you to glory, and you follow him as he follows Christ. And this church has no interest in anybody here that's just slumming and church hunting and running around trying to find a pastor you can approve. You're in no position to make that choice, my friend. The Word of God is being taught right. And until you can find a better place where the Word is taught, you either get out and start building one of your own, or you get your ego under control and your shoulder to the harness, and understand there isn't anybody going to prance around in a position of prominence in this church, cameraman or usher, that doesn't get their ass in here on these phones. So I suggest this cameraman who has got too much work to give God a tenth of his time and thinks God can bless anything he's doing while he steals the tithe of his time, he now suspended and barred from the cathedral until he finds God. I also want to serve warning on some of you. I'm tired of failures who came to work for me and didn't make it because of their ego. I don't quarrel with somebody that said, man, I got a job and double my pay and I can give more tithe. Go for it. Leave positively and take what you learn from me wherever you go. But you quitters out there that had too much ego to get the corners knocked off of you and your life shaped for Jesus, that sit with your sour mouth fear in the congregation and spread the blanket of your corrupt attitude, I'm watching you real closely as I preach and in everything that I do and on these Voice of Faith lines, because some of you are just hanging by a thread because there is a certain imbalance that occurs in the congregation when so many ex-employees get out there to rationalize among themselves their own failure. You're the failure, not me. You couldn't take it. I'm still taking it. You weren't willing to die. I died a death beyond you before I ever came here. You weren't willing to forsake all. I did many times before I came here, and again after I came here. And I'm still having to do it. Because there ain't anybody could do a damn thing about it if I wrapped all this up, liquidated it, and decided to live in some remote fastness or on some desert, some South Pacific Island and enjoy the love that God has given me in my senior years. God blesses me because He and all of you know He's first with me. He's first, middle, and last. I don't like quitters. I don't like the way my mercy and love and tolerance has allowed too many hangers-on to grope around in the congregation and rationalize, well, I love His teaching, but somehow separate the man from the teaching. I repeat what I've said many times. Apparently, God doesn't have any trouble doing that. God doesn't separate the man from the message. He still uses this man. He has the ability to send angels. God still uses this man. I'm still the pastor of this church. And I don't intend to allow this church to have bad leaven corrupting it any longer. I don't intend to have little pockets, little intricate social networks that have developed over the years in this congregation to even entertain the idea. You've got an ounce of power in this church. I'll lock the scissor gates and preach to the people that care across the nation. You are going to follow me as I follow Christ, and God ain't going to tell you a single hint of what He wants for this church before He tells me. I got Bible for mine, and you got tradition for yours. This corrupt society, I may be the last prophet on the horizon. There are many platforms of television. My Bible tells me there were platforms of prophets innumerous, but only one would come out of the desert with the word of the Lord. Now, you can either go with me or get out of the way. You'll go?
Yes, sir.
I like that spontaneous response. This lady said, we'll go. You'll either go with me or get out of the way.
You'll go with
us. Good. I'm not too interested in a lot of the old failures. They got to do some real repentance in sackcloth and ashes. I've been conned with sorry, sir, too many times. You have looked on as I've come to that platform Sunday after Sunday. I hate to be compared to a woman, but like the wife of a drunken, abusing husband, who after he does his damage to her and she starts to leave, or is going to throw him out, starts the crying jag, oh, please, give me another chance. I've had a staff that's turned me into a codependent. I don't doubt the love. I think anybody with any brains knows there are plenty of husbands that are drunken louts that beat their wife, that when the chips are down, they think they love their wife. And in a way, they do. But they love themselves more. I have people that have gotten comfortable in their position. And they think they know more than I know. And they think their way is better than mine because it gets the job done. But it turns the place to Ichabod. The blessing is departed. And it brings the curse of Saul. Because they've grown contemptuous. of the things of God and are sticking their three-pronged fork into the pot at the wrong time. It might be the same meat designated to the priests, but God told them when to eat it and the way it was to be eaten, and more importantly, what was not to be done. I gave an order. This man doesn't go on camera. But someone preempted that order because they had a practical job to do. And then they made matters worse by lying and saying, well, I thought it was only a temporary order for a week or two. I get literally ambushed. When I needed the message today more than you needed it. At least I feel that way. And I have it knocked out of me. I wish I could give the finger on TV to give the graphic thing that I believe was done to me, to God, in this work. I can't even get out and in my car and get my jacket off and a sweater on as I'm drenched with sweat under those lights. Sir, we got an air conditioning problem. I'm going to have to call somebody out and demanding a decision from me when the decision's already been made what they're to do. Make the decision about what we're willing to spend when I get the estimate from the guy who comes. I can't do anything about it on Sunday afternoon after I finish my message. There is no way. I even called the studio. Did this man call you earlier with a right now? No. Deliver it. Given over to the devil saying, okay, you preach this message and you really preach yourself into the faith to keep going in this what is on the surface an absolute, well, much bigger now than this church was 25 years ago, and to reduce it down to two people, not to attract you to me right now, but I'm doing it, whatever the cost. And I preached myself into the faith to go into another week. The devil's waiting at the door. All he has to have is one disobedient staff member. It has a symbolic meaning, like knocking those twin towers down. A symbolic meaning. I'll show you. You can't even get off the platform having preached yourself into faith in God. But what I will show you, I'll take another one out. Just recovering the faith to go after him for the twin towers. And they take out the White House. Just get over that. And they take out the Space Needle. Pretty soon it's designed to break your faith down. I need volunteers now at the cathedral. I've just eliminated the key man there. Had to put somebody else in charge. Man, he's gung-ho. Well, all the demons that were spread between the two of them can now concentrate on him. Wait till tomorrow when he gets an order. I don't want you here. If you don't understand, you're here to grow spiritually. The only way you're going to go spiritually to do what I tell you, no more, no less. I'm in charge here. What you do in your life's your business. What you do in this church life's my business. I'm responsible. And I have people that have learned their ways, and they're going to keep doing it. I ordered a new character generator. Part of Secret 13 that I haven't told you all about yet. It was intercepted here and put in a corporation that wasn't even supposed to receive it. And I then gave the order to take it down to the truck because that's our main service on Sunday. Totally ignored and even went so far as to bolt it down here in the wrong place. We're going through a station break. I chastised them, gave a clear order because It was part of mail, and we have a procedure for mail. It always goes through a certain procedure, and two people open it. But one of the old guard was called. He said, well, I know what it is. Carry generator, just take it in the VTR room. Bought by a different corporation for a different purpose and a different place. I wasn't even told it came. And when I discovered it was installed here, where we haven't been doing festivals, and we need it, the old character generator works fine here. We needed the new one to upgrade our production for more breakouts that I don't want to tell you about into an expansion of the ministry. We need the character generator in the new, a new unit that's being purchased, but for the present time, for the truck down at the cathedral where we do our main service in the Roman series. So you not only put it in the wrong corporation, you put it in the wrong place. I want it in the truck where we're doing our most important programming. Last night, Melissa's down there, and she knows the orders I've given. And she notices that the old character generator that we used to move back and forth every week from here to there, because they only had one, still in the truck. So being the person that she is, she's not going to assume that they did it in defiance. So she has to consider the possibility that maybe I gave a different order she didn't know about, and she's not going to oppose that. So when she asks about it, another engineer says, well, the old one is bolted down. No, the new one is bolted down in the studio, and we couldn't move it, and we have the old one here. And the guy I gave the order to, who was responsible, stood silent and let that lie pass in this cover story to Melissa. We have always, it's always been bolded. The character generator before we bought the new one's always been bolded, and so has another piece of equipment. And we just take it out with the bolts, move it to the truck, bolt it in there, and take it out in the truck, take it back. A lie, a cover story. Though knowledge is power, and people that have been here a long time use their knowledge to cover their failure to obey. Zero tolerance, not allowable anymore. In defiance of my orders and the corporate risks of having it in the wrong place, because we keep very careful distinctions between the profit-making and non-profit institutions here, which is why we haven't had the trouble of some institutions. But they know it all. They're comfortable. Let's just get the job done. The old man won't know. You know how he is. He has these rules that get in the way of us doing the job. And if we get busted, we'll lie our way out of it. If that doesn't work, then when all lies fail, we'll use the sorry sir routine. Well, now there are some around here that have gone that are not quite as bad as you're describing it. Well, they knew the others were and did nothing about it. So I have the same attitude to this terrorist situation. Get those that did it and those who harbor them. I'm eliminating those that have done it and those that have just watched while it's been done. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Now you can get with me. I'll be out of here by 5:30. You can get with me. Make your reservations. And start making your 7-month commitments. You may say, well, I did it before. Well, I'm not going back and digging through the pile. I need new people trained in here. I need volunteers down at the cathedral. And if necessary, I'll run this ministry on volunteers. Me and Melissa will do it. I have no more use for these overgrown carnal, non-spiritual, spiritual teenagers that see the dad and his rules as impediments to their way of doing things. This is war, and like the army, there's only one way you do it in the army, and that's the army way. Period. I came here saying this 26 years ago, and you could fire a cannon in face center and hit more red seats than you could people. Well, now, face center's still there, and we don't know a dime on it, and the red seats are still there, and I'm perfectly willing to start over. And that's exactly what's going to happen, or somewhere out of this reservoir of 26 years of teaching, there's somebody saved enough to take serious what I've been teaching. And when I came to town, I said, I got a problem. I happen to believe what Jesus taught. If any man will come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I had a bitch for a wife that said we ought to have counseling. Faithless woman. I was faithful. Oh, we ought to have marriage counseling. All you can say, she said, is Luke 14. Right. I don't know how to improve on it. That's what Jesus said the cost was. The problem is this generation that wants to somehow water that down. It's still the same. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Few there be that go in thereat. I ain't interested in mobs. I'm not interested in a voice. I'm not interested in a wide platform. I'm interested in the truth and the grace of God and the faith that is necessary to follow it. And you better follow me as I follow Christ if you're in this church. Now get on the telephone. If you make 7-month commitments, give me some information on what you do. You gotta be willing to do whatever. But if you have special skills, say so. Go on telephone. Now, are you listening to me? I need Voice of Faith commitments renewed. Volunteers for security at the cathedral. And cleaning, weekly cleaning jobs. We now have the tower to maintain, and that takes the permanent crew's time most of the day. I want 7-month commitments. Test pattern of your commitment. And I see you, Jim. I don't want any more ushers. If they're not Voices of Faith and performing, they don't usher. Understand? Just take a slow offering with 2 people. I'll hire off-duty cops if I have to. I don't want any more security from people that don't serve as a voice of faith. Just sit them down. I can shoot better than them anyway. I have something here, if you can zoom in on it. It's a picture of, it says, the New World Trade Center with a question mark. And then down at the bottom it says, God, I hope so. I'm the only pastor that would show that to you. Kind of a sick clap that was. You understand what I'm asking?
Yes, sir.
I want volunteers of the cathedral, renewed Voice of Faith commitments. And no, you can't come to the cathedral just, well, I'll volunteer when I can. No. I found out that some people were coming down there with a 2-hour window. No. If you're a volunteer, you tell us when you're going to be there. You understand? I was bringing guests down there the other day, and somebody was a volunteer, and I was told that, well, he gets here somewhere between 4 and 6. No. If you're unsure whether you're going to get there between 4 or 6, you get there at 6. And if you get there at 5, you just wait. You can't just come and go. Like you're going to the grocery store. This is the most important work you do. Get it out of your head you're a volunteer. There is no such thing. You're a slave of Jesus. You're not your own. You're bought. 10% of your time and your money belongs to Him. You take it. You're stealing. And you give that time to the place you get your spiritual food. Quit monkeying around with God. No. I don't want any volunteers. Well, I'll come once a week when I can. Well, you're canned. You understand that old English term? I want people that mean business. I'm tired of the corrupt leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I want people that mean business, that understand that what you're doing with this church is the most important thing you're doing in your life. It's more important than your wife, your family, your profession, your kids. Because it becomes the criteria. What you do with this place that you get your spiritual food and putting God first proves Him, and that's the criteria that brings the blessing on the rest of what you do. So you're lying to yourself when you put those other things first by saying you love them. No, you don't. Because you're depriving them of God's blessing and you're guaranteeing God's curse. Wake up or go find a sick church that will give you sloppy agape all the way to hell. And down there you can kiss each other through eternity. I'm trying to take you to heaven. And it's a tough road, I'm sorry. They're tough shoes for a tough trip, but it's a tough trip. But give me some people that are worth something. Get on telephone. Well, I don't see every phone busy. I don't like that. Get on the telephone with your faith. We haven't much more live time here tonight, so get on the telephone. I don't know. I just got a message I want to clarify. From Bellflower. 7-month commitment for security. No. You don't make 7-month commitments and tell me what you're going to do. That's what I'm getting rid of. I want people that are going to make 7-month commitment to do whatever I tell them to do. Period. I can buy security guards. No. I'm asking for volunteers down at the cathedral. 7-month commitment, $500 a week, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, no questions asked. You volunteer on Sunday. 7 months. Tell those reservists that are being called up, President Bush, now that you're calling me up, I want to make a commitment to train guard dogs. I want 7-month commitments from people that will follow me as I follow Christ and understand there's only one criteria of success. Whether you can do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, exactly what I tell you to do, no more, no less. And if I don't tell you to do it, you do nothing. You stand still. Now, you'd think a 10-year-old could figure out how to do that. But some of you got some 10-year-olds that you can't make do that. You didn't start soon enough. I don't need any home run kings. Men listen, God can do it. I've even crossed the hurdle necessary. I'll go right back, live in my parents' home up at Almanor, go down every Sunday, and talk into a microphone in the chapel in Orville. Hire a professional to spin the tapes and write the programming guide. Well, what about the cathedral? You ain't going to have it. Well, isn't it our church? No. Sorry to drop that on you, but no, it ain't your church. Never has been. Never will be. It's the Lord's church. And He put me in charge. And I want the bad leaven out and the good leaven in. Do I think I'll have to do that? No, I just understand the price you have to pay when you make a commitment is whatever. This is where the line's drawn. Consequences belong to God. I don't think that'll happen. I think there's enough of you out there that are finally going to figure out the problem is serious and help do something about it. But don't expect me to trade in the compromisers I now have. I mean, don't expect me to trade in self-serving, defensive, know-it-alls, working for the work instead of working for me to get you to do that. At least they know how to do the work. You don't even know how to do the work. But I'm not about to trade them in on you with the same attitude. Leave your ego home. And decide for once in your life you're going to take Christianity serious. And quit talking about cross-bearing and dying for Jesus. Start doing it. And you really only have to do it in your ego. Pride is that one sin God can't get around. And it's the one the devil fans like a flame in all of you. Now get on the telephone, make your commitments, and no, I don't want a 7-month commitment for security. I want a 7-month commitment to do whatever I tell you to do.